Lower your expectations. Season 3, it's a hockey podcast with Lance, Coach, and Randall.
Hello and welcome to the Youth Hockey Podcast. We are at episode 23. I can't believe how time is flowing. Can you guys? I mean, it's almost the end of the season.
My son plays as a number 23, by the way.
Nice. Dustin Brown.
Yeah.
I just want to give you some kudos, Lance. People don't know, but Lance is actually on the East Coast in a totally different time zone from Randy and myself, 3 hours
New Jersey
past. And he's staying up just to do this, to bring another episode of the Youth Hockey Podcast. And
because you know what, Dave, I was just thinking about it the other day, and I'll never forget. I was in the 11th grade. My brother took me to a hockey game. I'd never seen a hockey game before in my life. And I remember sitting there thinking, someday I'm going to be part of a hockey podcast. Living the dream.
The internet doesn't yet exist. Yeah. But already, but he predicted you knew.
It. Yeah.
I predicted exactly.
Lance is the kind of person who probably could do that. He's a very forward-thinking man.
And let me ask you, Randy, are you not living the dream with the Youth Hockey Podcast?
You know, ever since I got all my Youth Hockey Podcast gear, the sweater, the windbreaker, the ceremonial mug, my life has been so much better. You should all go to our shop at, we don't have a shop. Never mind. I would love it, though. I mean,
Some of our gear.
Get some of our swag.
What do the kids call it? Yeah.
Yeah, I believe.
You know, we should start t-shirts.
Merch. Sorry.
YHP.
They call it merch.
Yeah. We can make bank off of merch.
YHP. That's all that's going to say on them. People have to figure out, what are they talking about?
Right.
Yeah. I honestly, as soon as I can get the store built.
And then the Bears logo and a big, like one of those cross out signs through it.
Hey, don't say bad things about the Bears, David. That is not this way this show runs.
I'm not the guy who's got his picture.
I have no history at the Bears of negativity. I believe in the Bears. You go, Golden Bears.
Nice. So what do you think, Randy? On the front of my shirt, it's going to say YHP, and on the back, it's going to say I'm a peer.
Nice. I love it. I really don't think that you are peerless, but I really love it.
Well, let's get listeners.
Yes, to send us Randy in some, has.
You know,
a
if you've got
topic.
A great idea for a t-shirt, you know, for us to launch the YHP merch store.
Oh yeah.
You know, but let us know if you got any you know, super like if it's a really great one, and we you know maybe we could like kick back some of the profits.
Oh yeah, no, there's a designer out there that just loves to spend their time in a worthless endeavor. Sorry, I don't mean worthless. We are worthwhile. Our message is worthwhile. I'm not sure if our t-shirts would be all that that would be the rage, but who knows? Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, you're selling the short.
I'm sorry about that. By the way, Dave, I never sell the coach short. It's just wrong. So.
Well, especially when you have riveting topics like the one Randy's about to introduce.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, thank you for that, Lance. And thanks for setting up expectations.
What a segue.
That is great. I think that's what they call a pro hustle right there. He knows how to make it hard on me to now make what I'm saying entertaining. But I will get to it. We're talking a little bit about jockeying for the next year, because a lot of people right around this time, things are winding down on their current team. Although some teams, you know, that are really good and bless all of you, are going to playoffs and getting ready for nationals and doing all that stuff. The teams that we're on, or at least the teams that my children are on, are all kind of winding down. They're beginning to slowly cascade into next year. And what you find, as most of the teams are not national bound and most of the teams aren't going to be the champions, is that a lot of kids are now beginning to project forward, and a lot of parents are beginning to, more importantly, project forward into where they're going to be next year. Now, Lance, you have had to ask yourself that, 16 times? Your kids have been playing since they were two. They're now 17, so that would be 15 times, right? And what is the process that you use right about now for choosing your next team? Not for your kids now, but I'm just saying, as you went through the years, what were some of the determiners, the markers? What were the things that you thought were important choosing the next team to be on?
You know, I'll tell you, well, I can tell you, like, you know, the first year was all about just fun. It was the local rink, you know, back then the ice station of Valencia. And then, you know, they stopped the full ice. They've stopped full ice league at Valencia. They weren't going to field the team, and they were switching to the what's called ADM model.
Yeah, the ADM.
And we had already, you know, and I had talked to them about the fact, I felt like, you know what, kids that had already grandfathered in, you should let them keep playing full ice and have that for new people being introduced to hockey. I said, it's a great idea. Let them do that. But they made their decision. So that first year, I remember we went out and it was more about logistics. Closest team around at that point to us that had a team, needed players, was the Bears. And that
that would have been the Heat, actually. The Heat needed players and they were closer. So why did you skip over the Heat and
just
go
drove right past Van Nuys?
No tacos for you.
Yeah, no, you know, to be honest, I'm trying to remember back. I don't know why we never even considered the Heat. I can't even remember why.
In your defense, they might have been the West Valley Wolves back then.
They were the West Valley Wolves.
Maybe you don't like the Wolf. Maybe the Wolf is not your thing. But
it was scary.
You just found
idea.
A coach.
But for the first
you found a coach. Now, did you find a coach or did you find a program or what was your like early on? What was your method to find the next year's team?
Well, early on, I mean, it evolved, obviously, because early on, it was more about the program. And one part convenience. I mean, I think part of the reason why I went with the Bears too was that the rink was like 2 minutes from my job. So it was very convenient for me to go watch practices. And then if you remember after that 1 year with the Bears, and that was long before Peter Torsen was with the club, we came back. We weren't thrilled with the experience we had there. We came back, played another year, their 8-year-old year at the Valencia again, and then we moved out. And I think our first move to when we went to Pasadena was all about the coach, and Randy will remember, because the coach we wanted to play for a certain coach who had coached in house.
And he loved your kids too. I mean, you have to admit that guy.
He was a good guy. I mean,
yeah, he really loved your kids.
Now, what were the initials of this coach?
I could say the name. Is there any secret to the name? I
mean, no, there's nothing wrong to say about that name. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was Coach Dave Holliday, who I believe, I don't know if he's still doing it, but he was coaching Bears or Burbank High School Hockey League.
Yeah,
he was the coach there, and he was a great guy. Loved him to death.
Well, we played for him for 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was he was a good
guy.
Hey,
listen, he probably is probably never listened to this, but great guy, Dave Holliday. Dave, I hope you're doing well out there. I don't believe Dave's coaching. I thought I would have heard. I think he just is busy with his career. He's got a daughter, and I don't think he's coaching hockey anymore. But yeah, thanks. Great guy.
Yeah, he was really,
there aren't a lot of coaches that you come away from going, you know, I'd like to thank that guy. Maybe I should, leave a basket of muffins on his door. He's one of those guys.
He was a player's coach.
I would. I would get a basket of mini muffins and give it a chance.
So you guys,
where did you meet?
Where did you get the? So he was coaching you guys on a team before that.
He coached the way I met him was he coached Randy's son's in-house team, and all the kids loved him. Everyone wanted to be with him. So somehow Randy convinced Coach Dave to add my sons to it. He was doing like a tournament team or something. And so we all played together, and the boys loved him. I loved him. I mean, he was just a great guy.
He was a big kid too. I mean, you know, he liked kids. He was a bit of a kid himself. You could tell that he just really bonded with the kids in a way that, he just liked doing it, liked being in the youth sports quite a bit.
Well, he really was coaching for, I think it's fair to say, all the right reasons in terms of, doing it because he loved the sport of hockey. As I recall, Dave took up hockey relatively late in life, but developed this love for it as a young adult. Maybe I think he started playing like maybe when he was 18, 19, maybe in college, I think he told me. And so then, and then when he did it, he just really wanted to, he tried to get better at it all the time. And he didn't sort of have this attitude of like, I already know everything about hockey and I'm great at it. You know, I was great because he didn't play it as a kid. So he had a great sort of take on it, I think. But anyway, I digress.
And you know what, the other thing too about him is that, he was always, as Randy can attest to, he always loved the underdog, right, Randy?
Oh yeah, no. He wanted every kid on his team to succeed, and he was really happy when the kids would develop under his watch. You could see it that was part of his joy of doing it.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Yeah.
And then after that, once the boys started to get a little older, it became more about the coach, who was going to coach the boys, more of looking for the pedigree of somebody who had a good resume,
So what do you think? Okay, because I remember on this one team that we were on, and we took our kid down to a skate with a AAA coach at the end of the season. And they were all pissed off. The coach was all pissed off. And then later I found out his son had gone down to the same coach, just right after we had. So it's like, isn't there a weird hypocrisy of
he's just mad that you guys got there first?
I know. That's totally what it seemed. It's like, hey, are you cutting in line? That's what it felt like afterwards. But are there any any of those stories in your version? You sometimes in order to choose a team, you go and you skate with the coaches, or you go to one of their pre-skates, or was there any of that? And I'll leave that open to both of you.
Well, I mean, we've talked about this. I've talked about this many a time on the podcast. That's the approach. I felt like if I want to go and I want my kid to play on that team for that coach, I got to get my son in front of him, because how is he going to make a decision whether the kid fits in or whether he likes him, doesn't like him? And I've always had those frank conversations. I take my kid, when we were going to make the move to go play for the Kings, my son's skated with the head coach like all spring long.
When you came back from Shattuck, you did not go back to the Kings. Was that because you didn't like the coach?
No, I loved the coach, actually. And, part of me regrets making that decision. But I think we got sucked into that whole, the prestige and the pomp and circumstance, And we just felt like if a place like Shattuck wants your kid, you're practically signing your contract into the NHL today,
But when you came back, why didn't you go to the Kings?
When we came back, everything was different. The coach had moved on and he wasn't there, but I would have gladly played for that guy in a minute.
So the earlier coach you would have played for. Okay. That's great. Yeah.
We had that other episode where we were talking about things that you do differently, and we didn't I don't want to put you on the spot here, Lance, but in hindsight, do you think, because I think you've actually said before that you felt like maybe the Shattuck move, you did it too young. Do you feel that way?
I definitely agree with that. And you know what, though, too? I did a lot of homework on it. And, and I think I had mentioned before that a Long Beach boy, Emerson Edom, he was, born, I think, and raised in Long Beach, for first round draft choice. He went to Shattuck at 14, like my boys. So right. I had long conversations. I was lucky enough to be able to talk with his mom and get a lot of good information about it. And one of the things she did say, which I should have taken to heart more, she said it was a great decision for Emerson. He grew up a lot. She said the one thing she always regretted was the fact that when he left at 14, he never came back. That was the last time he lived under their roof. So she said, just make sure you're ready for that. And, you know, I made that same decision.
That's very tough.
And I wasn't ready for that. I wasn't ready for my kids to leave at 14 and to never come home again. They would, you know what I mean? Because especially if you're a guy like Emerson, you know, he went from Shattuck to, I can't remember. I think he played like a year or two in the national development team, first round draft choice, you know, 18, 19 years old playing for the Ducks. And
right, he got on the wheel and it was just like, that's it. You're gone. You're a hockey player. You're going to
exactly.
Be
and he became player. An adult very quickly. And so that's one thing that I always regretted. Cause like we said, I think to me, the prime age would probably be like 16, 17 years old when they're a bit more mature and ready to handle it. Because that's the other thing too, about these prep schools is that not only is there a lot of demand for hockey, but there's a lot of demand academically. And at least for my kids, it was difficult to balance being academically, you know, overachieving and trying to overachieve at hockey. It just felt like there wasn't enough time in a day and something was going to suffer.
Now, you didn't jockey your way into Shattuck. They came to you, correct? Because I guess jockeying is on both sides of the equation. Like either clubs are jockeying to get your kid in, or you are jockeying to get your kid into a club. I mean, right. They came to you, correct?
And you know, and that was part of the attraction,
right?
Was the fact that they out of the blue they contacted me and said that they were interested.
It is really hard. I mean, because we've had calls where it is very hard to say no to a coach who wants your kid on a team that is above where he was playing before. You know, and we haven't gone to Shattuck, of course. It's not even close. But I do understand the idea of a coach calling you up and trying to get you to join their team is first of all, it's a great feeling because your kid is. Tried to work very hard to get into that position. But it's also kind of a double-edged because sometimes you go places that you wouldn't normally go because they've been presented to you in that way.
Right, exactly. Because especially for us, the way I felt about it was imagine your son or daughter is going to community college at your local in your local neighborhood there.
Hey, let's not badmouth community colleges, shall we?
I'm not bad, man.
Imagine that your kid is being taught by like a community college professor is what you're saying, Lance.
Yeah, exactly. And they're awesome. Wow. And they're wonderful. But you get a call at Harvard once you go to their school.
Okay. I know where you live and I know your house is empty right now. I know you're on the East Coast. So tread lightly.
Oh, you're too funny.
Even get to the point here? I'm trying to follow.
Sorry.
Okay, so the point is this, is for us, is imagine, I'll change it, Randy. Imagine your son is going to Cal State Northridge in the San Fernando Valley, and you get a call from Harvard University raving about how smart your kid is and how the school would tremendously benefit by having him come there. No filling out applications, no taking the whatever the test is.
SAT.
SATs, and there's other ones, I guess.
GRE.
None of that stuff. You're just, LSAT. You're in. ACT. We want you that bad, you're in.
MCAT.
Wouldn't you be kind of like, wow.
Yeah, you were, recorded, and it's a school that in the hockey world, everybody knows pretty much in the United States, even internationally, people know Shattuck. It you know, it's the school where Sidney Crosby went, where Nathan MacKinnon went. It's known.
Zach like, Parise.
Yeah, I a couple, even couple the Canadians.
Swedes, even the Swedes have heard of it. That's what I've heard. And the Swedes, as we know, are the best at all athletics.
But I've learned, by the way,
here we go.
all this jockeying, that's a callback, I've coach. Learned. I've learned a valuable lesson talking about if we had it to do over again. This is another thing I learned. And that is, and people have told me this 100 times and I never really listened to them. and I wish I had. And that was, whatever team you play for, make sure your kid's going to be like one of the more valuable players on that team. Do not get your kid on a team where he's at the bottom of the depth chart, because, you know, there's going to be times when they shorten the bench and your kid is shorted out. You know, if you go to a team, you know what I mean? If you're going to play AAA and your kid's on the fourth line, or you had a choice to be in AA and your kid's on the first line playing every situation, old Lance would have taken the AAA team, I think. And that was a mistake. I think they would have been much more better served being on the AA team, first line, everything, power play, penalty kill, 2 minutes left in the game, overtime.
And their love of the game probably develops better too when they're more engaged. I mean, let's face it, every kid wants to be, you know, the star, or at least certainly, you know, someone who moves the needle on the team. Exactly. So, yeah, so I can see that.
I mean, we're living that, Randy. I told you.
So it was wrong to ask you, Lance, about jockeying. The topic is about jockeying your kid on the next team. Lance always got invited on the next team, so it doesn't really fit. Me and Coach, I believe, had a more traditional thing where you had to find a good place for your kid. And we saw a lot of people trying to find the best place for their kid next year and next year. And the traditional trajectory, tell me if I'm wrong here, Coach, is that your kid on the team this year was around kids that weren't good enough to play with them. And so next year they have to be on a team with better kids so that your kid can play better.
Yeah, it seemed like we were kind of looking for the next thing a bunch of times.
Yes.
I look back upon it as, in some cases, selling myself on stuff. Like, we went to a program 1 year because a coach who had this kind of word of mouth reputation had been at another program. That rink was closing down, and a lot of people were like, this guy is an amazing development coach. And at least for me, I can only speak for myself, I sold myself on that idea, never having met the guy. In fact, we went to the program knowing that it would be several years before we would even get to the point where we could play for that coach. But he was coming to sort of take over and energize a tier program. And man, I was like, yeah, let's go there. And I didn't do enough research really with the time. And now, again, there wasn't really the same kind of opportunity there. It wasn't really a chance to go there. Nor do I think that coach had, you know, would have had much interest in like, yeah, here's my kid, and maybe in 2 years he might play for you. Although from the start, he was on the ice at certain times with that coach, but you know, I didn't really know one thing about the guy. And so, you know, a couple of times.
Get your ducks in a row. I mean, this is not for ducks. This would be flyers in a row, but yeah, get your flyers in a row before you hit the ice.
Yeah. Why did I, you know, I was at another program where my son had a bunch of good years and just steadily was climbing the ladder and developing. And I jumped out of there for the next big thing, not really knowing, like selling myself on this idea. And I went with other people that I knew. Now, you guys,
yeah,
were one
no,
of those
I
people,
know.
But
we
you
really
had a reason.
I feel a little bad because we always wanted you to be there. You know, like,
You guys, but you guys, like, you guys had a much more understandable reason that rink was 5 minutes from your house.
Well, and also
I should have stayed at the rink that was closer to my house.
My oldest son was playing with the guy you're talking about, and he loved him. I mean, you know, so like my oldest son, this guy that Raleigh's talking about, the coach he's talking about.
There's nothing. I don't want to make it sound like I regretted or thought that guy was a bad coach.
No,
I never thought
saying,
that. But
no, I'm just saying it was easier for us to make a decision to stick around because my son, oldest son, loved that guy. And my middle son, you know, looking back, I think it was his favorite coach too. So it's like,
you guys, you know, played for him for 3 years.
I mean. We played exactly.
So that's a long run.
Really bad. You know, like when jockeying, maybe don't bring your friends with you. Because the other thing is, because I remember feeling a little bit bad about, like, you know, having friendships, because you can lose friendships over, you know, bad hockey decisions. There was, by the way, this year, there was a person, I probably shouldn't tell this story, but I will. There was a person who we wanted to play on a team with our kid, with one of our kids. And in the end, I didn't say, I was like, they were like, do you think we should come up for tryouts? And partially because of the experience I had before with friends, I was like, no, just go near your rink, go because I didn't.
Yeah, you didn't want to be responsible for something.
Right.
That could
I didn't
sideways.
Exactly. I so didn't want it to go sideways, and it didn't go sideways. We had a really good year. This is my daughter's team, so it was the thing. But we didn't apply any kind of peer jockeying, because I guess that's part of the jockeying for next year. You try to get your friends and the kids that you want your kid to play with to stick together. And you try to get the coach that you want and all that kind of stuff. And we didn't do that this year because we're old and we'd seen it go awry on times before. And it turned out like this person played for a team that was a disaster. And I was like I was just kicking myself.
Yeah, they could have played for you guys.
Yes,
but,
and it was so much better.
You didn't advocate for it.
No, I didn't. And that is partially your fault, Coach Raleigh, is because I am tired of making mistakes.
Yeah, no, we talked about this like all the times we team built many a time.
We tried to. Yeah,
we talked to people. We talked people into stuff. We acted as marketing managers for some of these teams,
selling people on
the idea. And some of those people ended up being, you know, great sort of friends in some of these groups. It's weird, the hockey journey, because I think you've gotten into something interesting here, which is when you end up and you kind of get a nucleus of kids. Like we sort of stumbled upon on one of these teams. A group of kids, and they were all friends.
Yes,
from another city, kind of far away. They needed a hockey team. They ended up coming down, and then all of our kids played together for years. And then they became friends. And then we're like, "Where are you going next year? Are you thinking about this?
Yeah, let's and you want to yes, and you want to keep the band together,
right?
And yes,
and sometimes that's not the best thing to do. And something we've often talked about, like. Should we have done that? Like maybe it would have been better if we just didn't say anything and just like people do what they want to do, because then you feel bad if somebody has a really crappy experience or even like you get somebody, you know, I've advocated for somebody to come and then their kid, the reality was their kid sort of ended up getting more love from the coach and getting up a spot on the roster where I would have rather had seen my kid play. And
well,
one kid that you brought in
took your kid off the first line, if I remember correctly.
I don't even think it was the first line. Dumb. It was like the second line.
No, remember when like Armalee Gifford and you brought in somebody that took over your kid's spot.
I think you're thinking about a different year, but we'll
take this off the air.
I don't know what you're thinking of there. That actually didn't happen, but something similar happened and even lower down. Like I think a guy ended up sort of pushing my son down to maybe the third line. And now that was going to see, the thing is, that's the thing. I feel like I was actualized enough to, because I knew, like these are, you go back to mistakes, you know, that other episode we had, I knew this was going to happen, but I didn't want to kind of admit it to myself because there was already the signs there that the coach had already shown me he was not impressed with my son. And, you know, at that age and that level, he just wasn't impressed with him. Yeah, he already kind of gave me the indication that like, I don't, you know, whatever it is about your kid, there's something I don't think I like that much. And so I just kind of said, well, you know what? The next year he's getting better. You know, maybe the coach will change his tune. Well, it didn't happen. And I always felt like that parent felt bad. And I didn't want him to feel bad. Like, hey, great. Your son, you know, is more favored by the coach than my son is. you know, I brought you there. I want all the kids to have success. There's no reason for your kid, for you to feel bad, but I understand, like, it's almost human nature for a lot of people who have some empathy to go, oh, it's my friend. Like, I feel kind of bad. I can see, you know, he's kind of like, his kid's kind of suffering and he's kind of suffering that, you know, he's not getting that much playing time. So yeah, I get it. That's like what happens when you reach out, you know, and you bring people along. If it doesn't, it's almost impossible for it to work out for everybody. You know, maybe if you have a couple of really good friends and your kids sort of play together. But if you have a pool
that's really deep and the kids are all about the same skill level, it's much different than California hockey, because, you know, if you there usually are favorites and kids that are third liners that aren't really ready to play at that level on most teams in AA out here. You know, if you look at it, not all teams, by the way, some teams have a fairly, you know, strong core and they're all pretty good. But a lot of teams, there's a big difference between the first line and the third.
Yeah, sometimes. But even if that's not the case, see, the thing is, I think Lance really kind of has the point. Like, if we had a sort of a chart that we could put on, you know, make a poster for people, it's like, if there's two teams you're thinking about and one team has four lines and the other has three, pick the team with three lines.
Yeah.
Take some of the options away from the coaches. Because it's your kid's going to get more ice time.
The first year my daughter played, she played on a team of 11 kids, 12 eventually. But when she joined the team, there were 11. You know,
tried to get an organization to just sign 10 kids.
Yeah,
because we really handpicked them and we're like advocating and saying, come here. Here's the reason we're only going to have 10. Like, the ice time's going to be crazy.
That'd be
and
great.
Then the organization pushed back on us. And
I remember that.
About that too, Dave, is that true story. I was with a friend the other not too long ago, and we were gonna, you know, he wanted me to name the best coach your kids played for, who's your top pick, and I named the coach. And funny enough, this guy was like, interesting, because that was on my list of the worst coach I ever played for.
Mm-hmm.
Different people have different experiences and not.
No, you're right. That's another thing that should go on the poster, which I've said to a lot of people. Almost across the board, if there's a coach, you can find somebody who says that's the best coach we ever had. And you'll find somebody else who was like, that's the worst coach we ever had. You can't please everybody.
No, the one thing I would urge all the people listening, though, if you are jockeying for the next team, because we had a lot of people sneak off and try to, hide their resources and things, you know, like they'd go someplace and they wouldn't talk to anybody and they'd hide everything they were doing. Don't be that guy. Tell people what you do. You know, there's nothing wrong with going somewhere else. But to do everything behind the back of the people that you're friends with, that rubbed me the wrong way in a couple of occasions. I don't mind anybody choosing what to do at all, but to
I remember some of those things too. We used to talk about it. It was like, we know that so-and-so's gone down there and they're, you know, I just talked to them and was like, what are you doing? And we're like, we know. They were down at XYZ club tryout, you know, working out with the coach. Didn't say one word about it. Like,
it's a small community. Funny. Yeah, it's a small community. And,
part of me gets it.
I get it too.
It's fear. Okay, we're down here and we're working out. And, you know, why do I want to invite three other people to come and glom on?
That's what we were just talking about.
Time and effort.
I get it. But yeah. I do urge, I don't, you know, yeah, you might be right. Maybe I'm too preachy on this one.
I think you're right. And the reason is because if the only reason your kid's going to get on that team is because there was no other competition.
Yeah.
That it's going to end up badly.
Yeah. I agree with that too. Yeah.
So Randy, do you remember talking about keeping secrets? I mean, I wholeheartedly agree with you. Don't keep secrets. Don't be that guy. Because do you remember my Shattuck story?
Was it the one where somebody paid to get on the first line? Or
Exactly. No. The keeping the secrets when we.
There was a story you told me about somebody that was paying to get onto the first line, and it was the checks that were being written that kept that kid in the mix.
To me, no, we're talking about keeping secrets from the team.
Sorry, that's all right. Go ahead.
You're off in a tangent somewhere in the other stratosphere. So I was battling. Do I come forward and come clean and say, look, we're looking at this. We don't know what we want to do with our future, but this is what we're looking at. And I was going to just kind of be stealth about it, book a flight, take my kids to Minnesota, kind of sneak in, sneak out, figure out what was going on. And at the last minute, our advisor told us exactly what you said, Randy, don't be that guy. Be forthright, tell the club, be honest, tell them, you're looking, there's nothing like you've made this decision, you're going, whatever, because you just tell them the truth. So I called the coach the night before. I told him the truth, told him what we were doing, what my thoughts were, where I was at in the process. Again, a little stealthy, got on a plane, flew to Minnesota. I don't think we were in the state of Minnesota for more than like 10 minutes. And I get a call from the goalie's dad saying, so how's Shattuck? I was like, what? I said, did the coach call you? He's like, no, come on, man. He's like, it's a small world.
Yeah,
I know you're at Shattuck right now. He's like, I got friends. No, and so that's why it never pays to be stealth and secretive, because someone's going to find out. And
yeah, I got one that's somewhat similar. So my kid was like sort of towards the end of the year. I don't think it's a very different situation from yours, because we weren't being courted by anybody, but we were on a particular team. The team was doing had a really good year. But we were kind of like, hey, I think another program is better for us, looking at different options. And we had actually talked to a coach in a different locale. And this coach had said, well, yeah, I've got some video. I know some things about your kid, blah, blah, blah. He coached a couple different age groups. Well, sure enough, he runs into the coach of my kid's current team at this tournament and goes up to him and says, hey, what do you know about this kid? The kid that's... And I was like, well, so much for keeping the lid on that one.
Yeah, it's not going to be under wraps for long.
Yeah, it turned out amazing that they were good friends, quote unquote. And, if there was any chance that that was going to, there was any kind of like a secret be kept there. Well, this is the type of thing that can happen to you.
And, again, I don't want to sound preachy or any of that kind of stuff, because there are times when you do have to marshal your own resources, and it's not all about being kumbaya with everyone around you. I just in my hockey journey, in a lot of these things, I mean, because when we were jumping from when we were going into the next year, very often, like you said, Dave, we would try to keep our friends around us. I don't know if that was best for our friends all the time, but it seemed like the best thing for us, and I probably would redo that. I also would hear things about other people and their plans, and then like sometimes they deny, oh no, we're not going there. And then like on tryout day, they'd be there, and you'd just be like, you're my friend. You don't have to, you don't have to act like I could easily take it if you're like, oh no, we're looking into this. But if you say no, and then there's a little contempt in there. You're like, oh yeah, he doesn't deserve to know. And I'm like, it soured me.
A lot of hard feelings occur.
Yeah, exactly.
And I've heard this from coaches as well, of like, frickin' that guy told me all week, we're coming, we're coming.
Oh yeah, exactly.
And I just found out they're down at wherever. They're down at the other club's tryout. They're
the goalies
not
are the
out.
Worst about it, too. The yeah, goalies. Yeah. I hate to tell you this, but guys, I don't know if you know this, but the goalies are the worst about it. Oh, yeah, we're coming to the team. We're 100%, 110%. And then the goalie.
Boy, Randy's making up all kinds of friends today.
The South Dakotan goalies I love. So they're pure, honest, steadfast young people. But in general, goalies were the ones that wouldn't show up.
You know a lot of South Dakota goalies?
I don't. You caught me. I was just making a point about my love for South Dakota.
He only knows the North Dakota goalies.
I was trying to pour out my heart to the Dakotas in a blatant effort of pandering to the Dakotas. I love the Dakotas. I think they're better than most teams in Sweden and in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And I'll take that to the wall. I'll take gotcha. Dakotas. I've got your back.
Hey, Dave, is Randy moving to the Dakotas? And we don't.
I don't know. Well, maybe someday. I don't know. I like the Dakotas.
I think one of his sons spent some time in one of those locales, I believe.
Or no, was Montana. He was in Missoula, Montana, yeah. Montana.
Well, to me, it's all the same. The Dakotas and Montana. It's the same
state. It's
vaguely
north.
It?
Yeah. It's vaguely
like if they,
cold.
Honestly, if they Very took frigid. All three of those and just called it. Mont all three Dakota, of those. Would that really be a problem for anybody?
You are such a pain, Coach. I remember now why we were happy to see you leave.
How many senators would they get?
Six. I believe they would get six.
Well, they should have one and a half between all three. Is my
you
opinion.
Are so mean to my the state of my birth. Actually, state of my home. My
what
home
are you
state.
Talking about?
Montana.
You're
my grandparents
from
lived in Montana.
Come on.
No, my grandparents were my mom moved from Colorado or from Montana down to Colorado, and she had us in Colorado. But you know, Montana was very close.
Get the genealogy going here. Mm. Family tree.
Yeah. Interesting stories, by the way, abound. But I won't make you listen to them, lovely youth hockey podcast listeners. I will simply say that if you have any stories of jockeying for the next year's team and figuring out exactly what to do and who told what to who and whether or not they were just telling a fib. Excuse me for using the language, sharp language there. Just let us know at youthhockeypodcast@gmail.com. Youthhockeypodcast@gmail.com. I am calling this one, gentlemen. Thank you so much for Lance for staying up well past your bedtime out in New Jersey. Can we give a round of applause for Lance?
Yeah.
Yay.
Ooh, yeah. Okay. And Coach Raleigh.
Wild.
Coach Raleigh came up and visited me and my son this weekend and watched him play a game. My heart goes out to Coach Raleigh. We might fight a lot on the Youth Hockey Podcast, but a sterling man, no better man have I met during my hockey journey. So
I enjoyed it. As I said, you know, it was some real good hockey.
Boy, well, it's kind
of a bunch of kids I knew, including your son, had a absolutely sweet snipe in that game, and it was some great hockey to watch. And I, you know, as we all said many times, like I only see my kid on video these days, so I was missing actually seeing, you know.
I noticed you went because I was standing inside, it was a little cold, and you were like, "No, I want to go in the arena, man. I want to hear the hits. I want to hear the terrible officiating, right down by the glass."
I mean,
was not
there's nothing like me complaining
weekend.
About bad calls.
Oh,
if I can't see them with you know with my own two eyes.
Your own two eyes. That's right.
Did a tear well up watching?
I didn't look at him during it, but I did notice that his eyes were puffy and red after the game. That's all I can. That's all I'm going.
Yeah, it was emotional for me.
Very emotional. So
it was the first time I've been back to the renamed Cube.
Yep. Yeah. So. Yeah, and they rolled out the red carpet. I believe he had a Pepsi and a crawler from the new.
I didn't, but you know, now that you bring it up, it's like I should have tried the new snack bar there.
Oh yeah, it's 10 times better than the old snack bar.
Mm. Did the chocolate chip drop the puck? Honorary puck drop.
No, but you know they had to, go and like actually enable the refs to come out to start the game. It was like fifth. I was like, oh, I'm gonna miss probably maybe the first half of the first period. Get there.
Nope, not only, Valencia.
The kids are just standing around. There's not a net to be found, and they're just going, "Where's the refs?"
And then when they got there, we were even more disappointed. So because literally. the calls in this game were about as bad as I have seen. It really makes you respect people who go into reffing who are good at their job, because when you saw the refs at Valencia, you just said, oh man, oh, well, not, they were so bad.
Yeah. Well, two comments are to Lance. Have you ever seen one kid get two double minors allocated to him in the same game, maybe 10 minutes apart? Because I haven't. Like, that was wild. Especially when I was hard pressed to find a penalty that was actually, you know, something I would have called in either of them.
Well, and they tackled my kid coming into the zone.
Yeah, especially
power tackle. I mean, the Joey Bosa tackle occurred.
Yeah, literally, he got kid put his hand under your son's arm in his armpit and full on, Bosa to him to the ice. And no call. And then literally 15 seconds later, a kid comes and slashes. It's a slash, but stick to stick. You hear a whack on the stick. And then next thing you know, 4 minutes on the box. And we're like, what? Like, are you serious?
No.
So it was some pretty terrible reffing. But, you know, no surprise there.
No.
And then they gave him another one. So it seemed like there's some personal animosity there. Maybe the coach, maybe the ref.
Some animus.
Like that kid.
Maybe.
I don't know what was going on.
All I can say is that if you have your kids out playing hockey in the East Coast, I'd stay there.
We ran into that, you know, the dad of your teammate, we brought it up and he's like, yeah, God, what is it? The refs are just so terrible here.
I know. Well,
Dakota refs are much better. Right,
the Dakota refs, by the way, those are some of the most upright and stalwart people you'll ever meet.
They know
rule book. Back and forth, up and down, page to page. Anyway, thank you all for listening. And we really hope that we can bring some information into your lives that helps you on your hockey journey. I know it's a little bit, sometimes it goes higgledy-piggledy here at the podcast, but know that we're trying to do is try to help you sort out some of the things that you go through by letting you know what we went through. And we really appreciate y'all listening in to our stories and our laughs, our trials, our tribulations anyway. We will see you next week with episode 24. Thanks for listening.
Remember to visit Gabe Gifford Hockey. The link is in the description and the webpage below.